Once you've evolved and experienced a period, a space, a moment, a lifetime, you can't unevolve. Once you carry that frequency, it's carried within you always.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. Jessica here. We have such a powerful episode for you today, and one that's been a long time coming. Elise Lunin, a dear friend of the podcast and of Lacey and I, connected us with an incredible friend that she actually had on her podcast as well. And after we heard the episode, we were absolutely floored at what they were talking about and who this guest was. So we knew we had to try to have her on and share her wisdom and insights with all of you. Her name is Krissa Schumacher. She's an empathic intuitive, a sacred ceremony facilitator, and a renowned psychic medium. She has had incredible channeling abilities since she was very, very young. And she most recently had a full body channeling transmission of audio messages that were destined to come through the essence of Yeshua. We dive into what that means and what that looks like all in the podcast. And Krissa really eloquently explains how having these channeling abilities led her to attending Brown University to major in neuroscience and really understand the quantum physics, the neuroscience, biology, philosophy, psychology behind everything going on, and to really have a deeper understanding of perhaps what she was tapping into and learning some incredible principles that she bakes into her sessions today. She has some incredible messages for the collective. And one note I just want to give you guys, you know, I've listened through on this episode a few times now at this point. And every time I have a new perspective, a new revelation, a new piece of takeaway. And I think it's important to go in with an open mind and see what aspects could be speaking to your soul in the moment and in the messages that she's sharing. If it doesn't all resonate, that's totally fine too. But I think just finding those little moments of peace from what she's saying can really expand your mind on a whole nother level spiritually. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It is one I promise you, you're going to listen to quite a few times to really take in everything that's being said. But we're so grateful that Krissa was able to come on and channel during this podcast and share her wisdom and everything that's coming through her. And I hope you guys enjoy.
And now a word from our partners.
I am so excited to introduce to you a brand new partner that we are working with for the podcast who is going to overhaul your oral hygiene routine. They are so, so, so sustainable. A friend actually got me onto them at first, and we're so excited to be partnering with Byte. If you haven't heard of Byte, you're going to become obsessed. So the founder, Lindsay, is a huge, massive surfer and also used to travel for work all the time. And she was noticing so much garbage and plastic was washing up along the shores over the years. And it's gotten so, so, so bad. And even when she was traveling, she wanted to make sure everything she brought on her travels was sustainable. So you could refill a shampoo bottle, a conditioner, all of those things, but you could never do a refillable toothpaste. So she went into the process and trying to understand, how could you do that? Is it possible? What would that look like? And what became this sort of exploration and trying to be, you know, more sustainable and less wasteful, she wound up finding that a lot of toothpaste, because of their paste-like quality, have a lot of other stabilizers and additives inside of them that aren't necessary for actually cleaning our teeth and are just because it keeps that in that paste-like form. So creatively, and I just love the inspiration and the kind of genius in this, she thought, well, what if we take the paste out of it, the water out of the paste, and made them into pressed bites and have everything you need for clean and safe teeth and none of the toxins or products that you don't need. So even your all-natural toothpaste products likely still have things in there that you don't need to be taking into your mouth and using in your oral microbiome when you're brushing your teeth. And a fun fact, which I had no idea before talking to Lindsay, that you actually swallow 5-7% of your toothpaste every single time you brush your teeth. So that's an entire blob of toothpaste on your toothbrush every 7 days. If you have ingredients in there that are toxic or harmful or not even necessary for your system to take in, that can be a lot of toxins just from your toothpaste alone, which is wild. So she came up with toothpaste bits. They are so convenient. They are completely sustainable. They come in a glass jar. They last months. You just bite down on them, chew them. They start to get that foaming agent in your mouth, and then you can brush your teeth. Your teeth will feel extremely clean. They have all the best clean, non-toxic products in there. And it's honestly just the smartest way you can go about getting very clean toothpaste, something that's super sustainable, not throwing away plastic every single time, and really, really good for your health. It's an interesting thing to get used to because you're so used to having that paste on your toothbrush. But once you get used to the habit of just biting down, having it kind of foam up in your mouth from chewing a little bit and then brushing, you'll never go back. Your teeth will feel extremely clean. The minty freshness is amazing and the ingredients are incredible. The other thing I like is they are the first non-toxic fluoride alternative, which is nanohydroxypate. It's a mineral that's proven to strengthen your teeth and restore your pearly whites without using fluoride. And I know a lot of people are very sensitive to fluoride, don't like fluoride in their toothpaste. So for any of those people, this is going to be a game changer because it can help strengthen and remineralize your enamel and help fight sensitivity. I cannot recommend it enough. They have a whole line of even more sustainable toothbrushes. They also have little mint forms, floss. Everything is recyclable. All the packaging that you get in the delivery service is recyclable. So if you sign up for their subscription, you can do a 4-month supply in one jar, which is going to save you so much time and money. It's 100% plastic free. It will help you with sensitivity, super clean ingredients, naturally whitens, and it's cruelty-free and 100% vegan. Highly recommend it, and my teeth are glowing since. So be sure to check out all of Bite's offerings at trybite.com/TBM. That's trybite.com/TBM, and use code TBM for 20% off your first order. Enjoy! One thing I am a huge fan of is protecting and helping to heal my gut. As someone who has had many gut imbalances in her life, having a really healthy gut really is the start of health for me because it is what sets everything else into balance. And so when it comes to my probiotics, I want to get the best in the business in order to support my gut at the maximum capacity. So I've looked no further than Seed Probiotics. We've been talking about them for such a long time because they really are top of the industry. They have the most science-backed research, the two-in-one capsule to make sure 100% of what you are taking in the probiotics actually reaches the gut, compared to a lot of other probiotics where it gets broken down in the stomach acid and bile and never actually reaches the part of the gut or colon that it needs to go in order to support you. And one thing that I had been thinking about recently was this idea of rotating probiotics, getting different strains of probiotics at different times. Different companies have this idea and schedule, and Seed actually had a great share on their Instagram about this that helped break down why it was important to take your probiotics regularly. Probiotics are transient, meaning they go into the digestive tract and the colon and support that area. So they're interacting with your gut cells, your immune cells, your dietary nutrients, and all of the microbiota that is already in your digestive tract to help support all of them further. After they've done their job, they colonize that area and then they leave your system when they travel through your intestines and out of your body. So that means if you're rotating probiotics, you're not giving all of the strains that you try in that first batch its fair share, because you need to continually take it. It's something you want to take on a regular basis. They're not permanently going to live in your system. So they're constantly moving in and out of your body. So the more regularly you take probiotics, the more effective they're going to be for your body. That's why I stick with Seed. I'm regular about taking it. And I did notice, it was interesting, when I went home over the holidays, I had left my jar of Seed at home and I was so disappointed in trying to get one on the go, because even after not taking it for 4 or 5 days, I can tell my digestion immediately shifted and felt different because it wasn't getting that support from the Seed probiotic that I needed. And once I was back on, I was feeling incredible, far less bloated, ease of digestion, and everything was running a lot smoother. So if you're looking for a good probiotic, you're looking to boost your immune and overall health through supporting the gut microbiome, I highly suggest checking out Seed. We have a special code for our podcast community, TBM15, for 15% off your first month subscription with Seed. I promise you, you will not regret it. It is one of the best monthly subscriptions I have by far. Again, that code is TBM15 for 15% off. And you can check out the show notes for a link to the Seed website to purchase, or on our podcast essentials page as well.
All right, on to the episode. Well, let's hop in. These are the questions we kick everyone off with. What is your astrology, even sun, moon, rising, if you know?
My sun is Virgo, and my moon is Pisces, and my rising is Scorpio.
Wow. Love it. Makes the world of sense. And Virgos are my favorite in the whole world. And if you want to give a little bit of where do you come from? What was your upbringing like and your background? And then we'll go right into the work.
Sure, of course. I was born with the ability to see and sense and connect very deeply with spirit. I'm what's called a lifer, meaning that these abilities didn't develop later. I didn't have them, and then they dissolved for a while and then came back, which is something that very often happens to a lot of people. A lot of children have very strong intuitive abilities, and then they'll dissolve for a period in their lives and then come back at another point. But I have always had the ability to sense and feel the presence of spirit and light frequencies, higher dimensions of consciousness. And that was a bit tricky growing up in a very competitive type of environment. There was a very strong scholastic focus in the town in which I grew up. And so, like many people with intuitive abilities, I learned very early on in my life how to try to hide or repress those abilities. So in some ways, I always felt growing up that I almost lived a sense of a double life. There was who I was in my reality, in my authentic self. And then there was the self that was more of the illusion self of what people expected me to be. And I decided to go to Brown and focus in neuroscience and major in neuroscience because I really wanted to explore if there were certain scientific processes that allowed me, as well as others that are sensitives or intuitives, to connect. So I went to Brown, and then for a little while I did work in the scientific space, but it was around 15 years ago that I went through, I refer to it as a light body activation, where there was a complete death of my separate self, of that expectations-based self. There was a complete death of that huge amount of loss within my life. And I consider that such a gift in retrospect, because it allowed me to resurrect in my authentic self in a life structure that is more aligned with my dharma, with my purpose, as well as my service within this life. So over the past 15 years or so, I've been leading groups of people through various sacred sites, specifically Sedona, and connecting with people one-on-one in sessions, and really helping others to reconnect and to illuminate that light that exists within them.
And I love that. Even just this today, I was feeling a bit gloomy, and I had this moment where in meditation, I realized it was like, wow, as I'm starting to integrate my feminine a lot more, it was something that was really repressed in me growing up. And I was like, there's magic in every state of the human emotion and spectrum. There's so much magic to be found. And so I love everything that you were speaking about, you know, having that shift in your life happen and bring you into, you know, just such clear alignment and authenticity back to your authentic self. It's just so beautiful. Will you speak a little bit about your thoughts of getting so clear with each of our individual purposes, the road less traveled to get there? Because it sounds like you really went through a dark night of the soul to arrive there. I guess to get right down to it, so many of us walk around with the mask on, sort of what you touched on in the beginning. And I find that the work you're doing and channeling is just bringing tremendous, crystal clear focus that allows people to get to their authentic selves. I'll let you kind of take it from there.
So the illusion self is very much a manifestation of what some might call the unconsciousness or the shadow aspects of self. But the shadow is a bit tricky, because even though it's kind of this formless space, this space that is waiting to be filled with light, or a part of self that is unrealized, that is just ripe to be realized, the shadow, we kind of visualize it as this blob. It's just this part of self that sometimes triggers our behaviors. But what's tricky about the shadow is that the shadow can almost take on its own persona when it starts interacting with the ego. And then the shadow creates this entire illusion of self, what self is. It's the ego's diminished sense of self-identity that, almost in order to perpetuate that illusion of the self, it needs to project that self onto everything. And if anybody turns or attacks it or calls you out on it, all of a sudden there's an immediate defensiveness that comes as a result of that. So the illusion self is really very tricky, because it's a self that is not really real. It's an illusion. A lot of the illusion self is what is constructed based off expectations in our society, cultural conditioning, programming that we've received, our assumptions and expectations that we form as children. And a lot of my process and what occurred within my life was a very rapid dismantling of that illusion self. It was almost as though everything, I wouldn't necessarily call it a dark night of the soul. If anything, it was the light part of the soul. The death, the crucifixion process was the pain and the burden and the suffering that came in living in the illusion self. Like, living in my normal old self was more of the burden than what actually happened when I went through the dismantling within my life that resurrected me into this space of balance and peace. And of course, because of that, when there is either a very sudden death of the separate self or illusion self, or if it happens on a sustained basis over time, like it does, you know, that's most common. Most people go through various stages of their process of excavation of consciousness. But when that happens, nothing is really about you anymore. There's no self. There's no construct of self that is worried about what the outside is thinking, what's going to be happening tomorrow, what it needs to manifest, what it needs to get done. Is everything okay? Am I okay? Are my relationships okay? A lot of that self-absorbed type of fear just completely dissolves. And then all of a sudden, there's just a connection to what is there within the present. And it's through the present that the revelation of the path comes forward. It's in the present that really the vision of what is aligned with regards to service comes forward. So in my work, I certainly am never one to tell people, this is your service and you're going to write a book and you should do this. I may guide some things to help someone to unlock that deeper. But in my case, the work that I do in connecting with people is helping them to go through the death of the separate self so that they too can resurrect. And the part of them that is, some call it Christ consciousness, some call it the path of Dharma, some call it the enlightened realization of the essence that you come to this world to bring. And so that is really my process and what makes it very easy for me to see the unseen aspects of a person, not what they're presenting on the surface, but really the unseen essence that lies beneath them, is really opening my eyes to the unseen world and what lied beneath the surface with me. And so when you're able to connect to that unseen space, there is a recognition of the worth of the individual, the power and the grace of that individual, no matter how good of a person they've been, the things that they've done right, the things that they've done wrong, all of that dissolves. And all you're really able to see is the Yeshua or the Christ or the divine that exists within them. And through that illumination of that divinity, they are able to find the vision of what is most aligned for them within this life, free of expectations. And there's a lot of content out there that says that, you know, the vehicle is the thing, the vision is about making a lot of money or creating all of these businesses or having the most perfect relationships. And very often, that isn't even the divinity of the vision that a person finds or experiences. Very often when they're living in the space of the present, they have a renewed gratitude for what it is that they have. They feel a call to simplify their lives. All of the areas that used to feel like forced or stressed or burdens, there's just really no interest in participating in those things anymore. So in my path, in the work that I do with people, I do not focus, at first at least, on all of the vehicles for the realization of their dharma. I focus on where they are on the inside, which is their worth, their essence, and the gifts that can emerge from those spaces within them. And the final thing that I will say about my process and connecting with people is that I'm so dissolved at this point, the unbelievable humility that it requires to serve as a channel, specifically for an avatar like Yeshua as a full body channel, there's not a whole lot of room for me. And I find sometimes with certain practitioners that when they're connecting with someone, they make it about them. Are they getting the results? There's too much interpretation that is entering into their dialogue or their connection with that person. And truly, when you're authentically serving another person, it's not about you. There is a we, there is a co-creation inherent to the process, but everything, the entire focus is on the person and illuminating and excavating what needs to rise to the surface within them.
Beautiful, beautifully said. So for the audience who isn't familiar, like you said, you're a full body channel for Yeshua. Can you explain to them a little bit more of what that is and how it came to be? And then I'll go from there.
Absolutely. So how it came to be is that is a lengthy response. And I cover a lot of that in the introduction of the Freedom Transmissions, which is a channeled offering that came out in November. So I won't go too deeply into it, just because if anybody's interested, they can access it within the introduction of the book. But I think in order to answer this, it's important to kind of focus on the question of who, what or who is Yeshua? What even is this in the first place? And Yeshua is Christ, Christ Logos. And it's important not to conflate the experience of Yeshua through the lens that he is channeled through my channel, through the construct of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The construct of Jesus is a lot of the belief systems that have formed or interpretations that have been created over time about specifically who this man from 2,000 years ago is. Christ energy, Christ consciousness is far older than just the one realized life of the man that was Yeshua, which is his name in Aramaic. There is a phrase in the Gospel of John that says, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And though I'm not a huge Bible person, that is a good representation of the essence of Christ. It is the Word, the Logos, the movement of that transcendent divinity into form, into the world. And so when I say that I'm a channel for Yeshua, what I am is I am channeling the aspect of Christ consciousness that is divinity moved into words, into expression, and into form. So who or what is Yeshua is really up to each person. To me, Yeshua is God, consciousness, the light, the essence and creator of all that is. And more than anything, if somebody is struggling with representations of Yeshua or Christ or biblical-oriented things, I really recommend to perceive or sit with Yeshua's essence as purely the energy of peace. Mm. Yeshua is peace. When you experience profound peace within, even in moments of uncertainty and grief, you are in the presence of Yeshua. It's not a thing. It's not an entity. It is an essence of peace. And so much of what Yeshua offers through my channel is a pathway for us to be able to find the balance of that peace within ourselves, no matter what is going on within the external world. Because without peace, all the progress that we make, all the things that we do really don't bring us joy within the long run. That's more about progress than it is about evolution. So Yeshua's path gives us a way to evolve so that we may progress, instead of focusing on the progress in our internal lives, which doesn't necessarily evolve us on the inside into our deeper divinity and into our deeper peace. So Yeshua, he's not for some people, he's for all people. And he speaks as and for all within the divine. So the divine, including the essence of spirit that exists within us, the divine is one God, one light. So if somebody resonates more with the divine through experiencing Yeshua as Jesus, Mother Mary, Hathors, Mary Magdalene, Allah, Gaia, Buddha, the essence of peace, or nothing at all, that is what is right for that person. So as a child, as I said, I was born with the ability to hear and feel spirit. I had very strong psychic and mediumship abilities that were substantiated more and more with each passing year. And when I was about 7 years old, I was enveloped by a very strong light presence. It was an angelic presence, very, very strong essence of light and peace. And I was told that I would be a channel for Yeshua. I did not know what that meant at the time. I didn't grow up in a religious family. I had never heard the word Yeshua in my life. And I wish that in that moment where I was told, you know, you're going to be one of Yeshua's channels, I wish that I had maybe said something profound like, let it be, or I am willing. And I think I was just like, okay, great, you know, whatever. So I had absolutely no idea. It was about towards the end of 2019 that going into a meditation and before a group in Sedona, I just completely dissolved in consciousness. And when I came back to it, about an hour had passed and someone turned to me and said, you just channeled Yeshua. Your voice was different. You look different. And so I was not expecting him to come through for the first time, but that was how it happened. And in the aftermath, you know, I almost find it very prophetic that his presence came through for the first time right at the end of 2019, right before COVID hit and all the other events that have been unfolding over the past couple of years started presenting themselves. It's been such a need for me and those who do tune in either to my offerings or to Yeshua's to have that divine support and clarity and guidance to have that with us through this time. So when I channel him, I don't remember anything that is said. And for listeners that may not be aware of what channeling is, it's moving energy from the unseen, the void, the divine womb, the space of spirit, the realm of infinite possibilities into the scene through words, art, expression, innovation, manifestation. That is revelation, the unfurling of something previously unseen into the scene, into form. So when I'm channeling a spirit in the form of mediumship, the energy of someone's loved one who has crossed over gathers near my channel, which is kind of just the space that the unseen moves through the scene. And the energy moves through my channel and suddenly messages come through or memories come through, which can bring a lot of healing and comfort and joy for the person that's receiving them. When a transmission of Yeshua comes through, very powerful energy gathers in the unseen. It kind of pools around this space in the center of my being, of my body. And that's when I drop everything, I bring Yeshua through and he regulates the channel. So he takes over my body and my voice. And as he speaks, the light energy, his frequency, the frequency of peace moves into form and a transmission is born.
Mm, incredible.
So I hope that summarizes the rather wackadoodle process of...
No, I find it to be, I mean, unbelievably needed and incredible. You know, it's so fascinating, not to turn this around on me, but I had an experience when I think I was 14. I was a freshman in high school and I had an experience. It was overnight and I'm claircognizant. Mm-hmm. And it's so fascinating because for a period of, I would say, 6 months to a year, I completely dropped ego. You know, I dropped the illusionary self. No choice was made. It just happened. And it was complete and utter Christ consciousness, which I had access to within my, you know, family system and my ability. I still to this day can touch into basically to give the shirt off my back, to not need or want for anything, to have peace, to not have judgment towards anyone or anything. You know, and then it dissolved for me. And I don't know what that was, where it went, but it was like I had a glimpse of what that type of life and oneness and presence is. And this is why I share all of this, because I'm so curious to why one would have that experience, you know, and then come to, I went through a very egoic period. And I think for me, the clarity I've ever received around that is I had to become and be so 3D in order to show people, kind of like to have a dangling carrot, to basically say, I have this gift that can show you how to manifest tangible, intangible, spiritual, et cetera, what you want, you know, in this incarnation. Where I'm being sort of forced into now, whether I like it or not, is into Christ consciousness. There's nowhere else to turn or go. And it's been happening for quite some time. And it's so anyways, I share all of this in a really roundabout way that I'm so curious, you know, for everyone listening, I know what that peace feels like. I don't access it all the time. I certainly access it in meditation. But I guess that can lead us into the path of realization, into revelation for each person, because we're all in such different spaces to get close to that Christ consciousness. So I throw all of that at you. You can tell I'm very Aquarian. I'm like, here's a really broad paintbrush. But I guess with all of us in such different places, knowing that that peace exists, that consciousness, that oneness, that love, the things we've heard about, you know, in various forms of spirituality, but are so true within the resonance of what you channel or with the channeling that comes through you, how can people, and I know your book covers this, so we'll get into that deeper, but how can people even start to feel even the subtleness of that level of peace, of non-attachment, of connectedness, you know, not worrying? I guess that's the question.
I'd like to present an image to assist in my response or my offering. What you shared was beautiful and sacred, and it's very interesting that you went through the period of the dissolving of the self, not the death of the ego. If our ego completely died, we would be blobs, we would be vegetables, we would be dysfunctional. There is a healthy space of ego and the ability to say I and to connect and to share and to commune within life. But it's the imbalanced ego that carries some of the deeper levels of burdens in its diminished sense of self-identity. So it's very common for someone to experience a time of what I call the transcendence. The transcendence is a period in which very suddenly all of these burdens just start crumbling away, and you're able to access a very high level of the frequency of what I call the vertical plane. So the image that I'm going to present is the cross, and not the cross that is the crucifix, the suffering type of component, the burden and the death and the martyrdom component. I'm just giving the image of a cross and even of a medicine wheel where there's the cross and the circle within it, representing the circle of life or representing the womb or the tomb of the divine feminine. So just imagine that there's a cross and there's the horizontal plane and there's the vertical plane. That space of intersection between the horizontal and the vertical is our reality within this life, within form, and it's also our zero point space. It's our space of balance and it's our space of peace. We are very conditioned within this life to focus almost exclusively on the horizontal. And we've needed to, in certain ways, to evolve as a species. We need to focus to make sure there's not a lion coming out of a cave to eat us, and that we have enough food on the table, and that our families are okay. But there is a very strong preoccupation that is conditioned into us to focus on the horizontal. If you get all of these things right, get all the money, all of the relationships, then you will have your peace. And it doesn't work that way. The transcendence comes, or the process of the realization or the awakening or the excavation of consciousness comes from a genuine, legitimate, not mind-based, not even heart-based, but spirit, soul-based desire to open and to live from the space of the vertical. If the vertical is the divine plane, the plane of consciousness, and the horizontal is the realm of the human, the transcendence is the awakening to the movement of that vertical space within our being. And there is a tremendous amount of harmony that comes when you live in the space of where that intersection on the cross resides, because then your life is not about living the horizontal so that someday you can get to the vertical. It's about bringing, weaving the vertical, the peace and the presence into the horizontal within the medicine wheel or the wheel of life. So it feels, from what you expressed, that you went through a period in which, on a soul level, not even a mind level, not even a heart level, but on a soul level, you were ready to move into a higher vibration, into a higher frequency of consciousness. It's like kind of like a video game. We go up a level and we integrate that new vibration. We excavate more parts of our unconsciousness and become more realized. And then we're at this next level. The ego and shadow programming is very, very tricky. And going through that, there is a moment where the ego can actually start to panic and say, oh, wow, well, you've had your little divine vacation. Now it's time to get back to work. And all of a sudden, the part of self that is governed by the horizontal starts to take over. And if you don't maintain the balance between taking the time each day, having the discipline to weave and braid the vertical into your life, to structure it as a way of being instead of something that just befalls you or that you can access, you know, from time to time when it feels right. When that is woven, when the vertical is woven in, it is far easier to sustain the higher level of vibration that you're carrying instead of the ego coming in, hijacking it, and dragging you back down into the pit or into the exclusively horizontal life. So a lot of the offerings that Yeshua gives help us to live in that center space. He is not one to say, detach from everything, detach from every feeling. That's fine if you want to live in a monastery and meditate for 19 hours a day. But the majority of us, we are in lives of service. We do have children that we're connecting to. We're in very different life structures. What I love about Yeshua is that he helps us to find the balance, because without balance, there can't be joy. And for anyone that is on a spiritual path and feels the wellspring of that desire, not just to be the richest and the best and thus solve all of these different problems in the horizontal, but for those that legitimately feel that call to channel the vertical, those light frequencies, the space and realm of the unseen into the seen, that is a profound calling. And it leads to the illumination of the collective consciousness in return. But in order to get to that space, you do have to be willing to set down your burdens. And it feels to me like in that time that you went into that transcendence, that there were still some underlying burdens. So you went into that space of light, and then you needed to experience and move deeper into the depths and into the space of shadow, and then back into the space of light. Again, there are always deeper and deeper levels of the spiral. But once you've evolved and experienced a period, a space, a moment, a lifetime of that level of divine peace, even if you go through a moment of shadow or relapsing back into negative behaviors, or you can't unevolve. Once you carry that frequency, it's carried within you always.
I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child, and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership, because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily, in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the Pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
I have a question. I have been practicing so much Christ consciousness teachings towards health, which is, I think, something that's been lost in much of like the biblical space, because as we know, when the embodiment of Christ was here, he was a phenomenal healer. I think the message there was exactly this transcendence. Have you been receiving a lot in your channeling information towards that? Like, I think this is a great thing that has been lost along the way. You know, when you are in this transcendence and this Christ consciousness and understanding spirit oneness and that you are eternal, et cetera. I mean, it's so deep that you really can't have illness in that. And I've really, really been practicing and studying that for about 2 years now. And I'd love to hear any enlightenment you might have had regarding this throughout this channeling process.
So I want to focus for a moment on the word illness, because I think that we need to get our terms right on defining what real illness is. And I am not saying this to mitigate people, you know, people's pain who may be experiencing an autoimmune issue or cancer, but just because you're experiencing a health issue does not necessarily mean that you are in dis-ease. There is far more illness that comes as a result of the unconsciousness or the unrealized expression of a person coming to the surface. There is far more illness in blaming another or projecting your burdens and hatred. That is illness. The passing of burdens, the spewing of burdens onto others, just as others who spew their burdens onto you, it makes you feel sick. It makes you feel small. It makes you feel valueless, unseen, unheard, unloved. That to me is illness. That to me is disease. And I'm bringing this up because Yeshua, in March of 2021, gave a really beautiful offering on a man who was blind. And within his life, he was known for giving many people their vision that were blind or that couldn't see. And he said that with that man, he didn't give him his sight back because the man didn't need it. The man could already see. Even though he was blind, Yeshua said, this man can see. Just because someone is experiencing a health problem does not mean that they are ill or full of real disease. dis-ease that is the incredible explosion of egoic and shadow behavior that we see so much of within the world. And as a matter of fact, I have had multiple clients and worked with multiple people in my pro bono work that through the experience of having cancer, through the experience of going through some sort of a health problem, they are able to reassess and reevaluate who and what is really of worth and value to them within this life. So there are many times when what our modern world calls an illness or a disease can actually be a very, very strong catalyst for someone's awakening and movement to peace. So if anything, Yeshua reconnects us to that vertical and to that divine space, and then whatever is in the greatest alignment with divine will is what flows from there.
That's really beautiful. I even like to the quote, "Know me not as I was, but as I am." Mm-hmm. Know yourself not as you were, but as you are. And I feel like this really plays into it. Do you want to talk about that a little bit further?
There are always multiple meanings behind Yeshua's words, and there are always a plethora of different meanings. And I always recommend that if there is a passage or a word, be it in Freedom Transmissions, be it in the Bible, be it in the Bhagavad Gita, even if you don't resonate with 99.9% of it, if there is one phrase that pops out, that inspires, that you intuitively feel a movement into the vertical or a sense of that transcendence or even just that curiosity, sit with it. Read it over and over and over again. And that phrase is one that he has continued to say from almost the beginning when he first came through my channel. And to me, it's representational of not getting fixated on the Jesus and the religious concepts, or even just how things are supposed to be as dictated by people in the outside world who all have their own struggles and imbalances. Know me not as I was, but as I am is an invitation for you to have your own relationship with him, with the divine, and that there's a beauty in that. There's a joy in that, even a friendship or a partnership where he's saying you get to define your own relationship with God. And even if you don't believe in God or consciousness or anything, it's up to you to live in such a way where you are living from that sense of inspiration and that sense of peace and gifting that peace to all those who come to greet you. So often we get stuck in who we were. Even the way that one of my favorite dynamics, when we start comparing ourselves to ourselves, meaning comparing this year's successes to last year's successes. Oops, I was more successful last year. I'm not doing as good. And then we hurt and berate ourselves. We're almost like in a competition, not just with others and the way that we compare ourselves to others, but in a competition with ourselves. And that statement, Yeshua is saying, know yourself not as you were. What you were is an illusion. That aspect is gone. Know yourself as you are. You are always worthy of redemption. You are always worthy of peace. He did not say, and this is even in the Bible, I give my peace to you in his transition. He said, I leave you my peace. Those are two very different words. In Aramaic, his peace, divine peace, is not something that we have to earn through being good and going to our confessions and doing all of our meditations. While all of that is important and fine, this peace of the divine was left for us to realize, and knowing ourselves as we are within this present moment is where we are able to claim that piece of peace.
Beautiful. Man, yes. And I know when we were originally emailing, you had touched on what you see coming in 2022 and beyond. I would love to know.
Ooh, I know. Oh, wow. I'm really happy that you asked me this question because it dips into something that you stated in the beginning. You had mentioned that you're really working with aspects of your divine feminine that have been more suppressed or repressed. And I'm bringing this up because it is an important dynamic for what we are moving into in this next cycle. So 2019 through 2020, and I spoke about this in some offerings that I did, even in 2018 and early 2019, these past 3 years have been a death cycle. These were really the last 3 years of the old era structures, and the old era structures that are agreements that we've made within the collective consciousness. It was very much an era that was about order and structure and reason. It was not an exclusively masculine era, but there were more masculine overtones, very mind-based type of era, which is wonderful because it brought us things like science and reason and deeper understanding and a certain amount of progress that allows us to live in our modern lives in the way that we do. But it also was becoming unsustainable because the focus of a very mind-based era is more, 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 build, build, grow, grow, grow. And so there was a lot of progress, but it was starting to really stifle our evolution. And you can even see this based on the expectations that we carry now versus 100 years ago. The expectations that a woman carries now to be a very successful businesswoman and the best mother and to participate in her community. There are so many expectations. And the same thing with men. It used to be man goes out, he works and provides for the family. Now a man is expected to be a very successful business person and yet also sensitive and attuned to the pulse and the heartbeat of the family. So in this dissolving of certain gender roles, but also in this movement to more and more and greater expectations that we carry, this old era structure of rigidity and conformity was really not working anymore. And so over this past 3 year period, we have had to go through a lot of death. And part of that death process as individuals and as a collective, meaning that this void period that we've been in is not just like an individual void or a dark night of the soul that you go through as an individual. We've been going through a void together as a collective, which is why it's really important for us to be a little bit more kind and compassionate and merciful with one another, but that's a different conversation. So now we've shifted. 2022 is really the first year where we are moving into the energetics of the new era. And what Yeshua calls this first three-year period, it's about 3 to 6 years, although it's may stretch into 2026, 2027. He calls this period, you reap what you sow. Meaning, we are moving into a new era dynamic. This is the era of masculine and feminine balance. This is the era of transparency. This is the era of co-creation. And wah, wah, this is the era of accountability. Accountability is not something that has been a strong energetic in the past, meaning that we've been passing the buck down. You know, the next generation can deal with the environment. The next generation can deal with our debt. We keep passing the buck down, even with regards to intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. And we, the people that are in bodies, all of us right now, whether a person is aware of it or not, we are ready to own accountability, not for what all happened in the past 100 years ago, but to take accountability for our participation within the collective consciousness as light holders. So over the past couple of years, Yeshua has really been hitting us over the head with like a spirit frying pan, being like, be careful. Plant seeds of faith over fear. Plant a seed of forgiveness instead of blame. Plant a seed of freedom versus suppression and perpetuating these behaviors and dynamics that keep you in suffering and in burden, because during this period that we're entering now, we will be held accountable for the seeds that we've planted. So if somebody has been throwing boulders in somebody else's pond, they will be held accountable for taking those boulders back. We can't continue this dance of pooling burdens with one another. It is time that we take this opportunity to really look at what burdens we are carrying as an individual and to set them down so that we can be lighter, so that we can be more present, so that we can be more free, so that we can serve in a way that is more simple, stable, and yielding to a certain amount of stillness within our lives. So this movement to deeper transparency, things are becoming more transparent. Part of that is just even the internet in the world right now, things that people did 20 years ago, all of a sudden pop up to the surface. And we're all experiencing this. We can't hide anymore. A lot of people have said to me over the past couple of years, I can't hide anymore. I just can't do it with my illusion self. And they're terrified because in order to break free from their illusion self, they perceive that they have to let go of everything in their lives, their work, their families, and it doesn't have to be so black and white. In this time of transparency, we are not moving to extremes, huge swing over here, huge swing over here, like we see in politics and collective dynamics. Our job as lightworkers, our focus needs to be balance. Rome was not built in a day. Not what a single one of us is going to be responsible for the entire movement of energy through this new era. The last era was around the time that Christ came to the world, and he could handle the singular responsibility of carrying all of the weight to release the burdens of the era that came before. Now, they're spreading out the divinity. We are all Yeshuas, and that is what is being asked of us, is to simply bring more of the qualities of the Yeshua self into our lives, into our engagements, into our relationships, with humility, with integrity, with originality, and with faith. So in this new movement, this really is not just about accessing this transcendent consciousness, it's about bringing that consciousness and letting it ripple through every aspect of our lives, our behaviors, and our relationships. So these next few years, there's going to be a lot of turbulence. October through November of this year, I'll just say a lot of the fall of this year is going to be a little bit of a shit show. Not the most spiritual term, but it's really important towards the end of this year to gather in community and to work in co-creation. We can't just be doing our individual work anymore. We need to come together in spaces of equality and co-creation where we are able to hold and support one another, because otherwise the weight of the resistance within the collective unconsciousness is just going to break us apart on the inside and also fracture us within the outside. So the end of this year is going to be a little bit of a turbulent dance, but that will lead to some incredible breakthroughs in 2023. 2023, this is very much a year that is about revelation. 2021 was about gestation, trust structures, examining trust structures, a lot of musical chairs in our lives surrounding friendships, who we can trust, who we can't. 2022 is very much about revelation, kind of receiving the divine vision that moves from the vertical into the horizontal. And 2023 is a really good implementation year. So 2023 is the year where burst your creative energies out into the world. This is a year where practicing temperance, operating with patience, and learning how to maintain that balance is the most important priority. And the final thing that I'll say, because this touches on what you said in the beginning, in this movement to masculine and feminine balance, it drives me a little bit crazy sometimes when people say, the divine feminine was so suppressed in this past era. And I'm like, that's not completely true, because there are two aspects of the goddess. There's creation and destruction. There's the ovulation, and then there's the menstruation. The divine masculine is very much about shielding and seeding and protection and movement of things into form. The divine feminine is very much about gestation. But there are two aspects of the goddess. And the light aspect of the goddess was not really all that suppressed in this past era. The light goddess is the nurturing one, the one that makes the flowers grow, the wonderful mom, the good girl, the perfect girl, the beautiful girl. She was not at all suppressed. There was a huge amount of invitation of the beauty and the color, the abundance and the creativity of the light goddess. The dark goddess was the one that was the most suppressed. And why? Because she's a threat to ego-based dominance structures. She is the part of the divine feminine that owns healthy feminine power in women and men. She is the part of the feminine that says, no, I'm not just going to go along with this. No, I'm going to challenge this system, and I am not going to let you dominate me and bully me into suppression. She is the part of the feminine that is the menstruation, that has the faith to destroy fear, to destroy behaviors that are hurting her and those around her. She is a warrior of faith. Very, very fiery. So you need to be a little bit careful when the dark goddess starts unleashing, because she can be pretty pissed. And when she erupts from a space of unconsciousness, there can just be a lot of destruction and chaos that comes. And that's not what we want either. People screaming, and that's not what we want. But when expressed with consciousness, the dark goddess is very powerful in advocating for herself, in choosing simplicity instead of committing to these next things, and all of this stress. She is wonderful with not only setting, but also enforcing boundaries. And so for those that feel that there have maybe been parts of their feminine that have been a little bit suppressed, especially those with a lot of masculine energy in both women and men, and that are really feeling that call to bring forth the divine feminine, it's important to look at what aspect of the divine feminine has tended to be the one that has been mitigated the most within you. Because it's different for everyone. A lot of people have had a hard time with their dark goddess energy, setting boundaries, putting destruction to things that are no longer serving them. I personally have had, and this may sound a bit odd given that my life's work and service is nurturing and love and kindness and creativity, but it's actually for me allowing myself to have that nurturing, that light goddess, has been the part of the divine feminine that I have been spending more time working with over the past couple of months. But it's important to take a look because that dark goddess energy, she needs to rise to her healthy, balanced space on the throne, because that is what will ultimately bring the masculine and feminine balance together.
Well, you nailed it, because that's exactly, for me, it's been the dark goddess. And it's wild because everything you're saying, I feel so guided, you know, because this is really, not only did I have a child, you know, almost a year ago now, but everything you're talking about with the dark goddess has just been bubbling and bubbling with me. And as of December 2021, it's been very clear. And even, it's so fascinating, even today in my meditation, you know, I was, the imagery that was coming up, it was sapphires and and it was like gloomy days. And, you know, it's very much allowing the dark goddess to feel the magic and power. Mm. Like, you don't have to suppress the full spectrum. So it's really, I mean, it's just incredibly timely. And I guess getting back to the point I was making, it's like, I feel, based on what you're saying and everything about this year and beyond, I feel very supported and guided. And I imagine many people listening are going, aha, me too, you know? And it's so beautiful, as like an inch of trust, that for those who are listening, you know, moving into, and we'll get into this a bit, the freedom transmission, living in that vertical space and trusting it a little more and a little more, that you're guided, you're supported, you're held. When I look back at myself, for instance, 10 years ago, and it was the brokest I've ever been, and heartbroken, I was a doormat. I mean, literally all of the rock bottoms. And when I would try to tap in and think about the Christ consciousness energy, I was like, that's not safe. Everything around me will fall apart, you know, which is really ironic now when I start to think about and tap into that energy. I'm like, that's the ultimate safety. It's the ultimate fluidity and being held and connected and trusting. But I just remember myself and many people, you know, who can tune in, listening and hearing that vertical energy. And they're like, that sounds really scary. Yeah, I guess the ultimate message there is we are all very held and guided. As you were speaking about that, that's what was coming to me. It's like, we're very held and we're guided. We're probably, many of us are feeling into that energy and that balance that needs to come, you know, through the masculine feminine balance. It's, yeah, I love it. Not a big question there. I'll let you speak to anything on that. But it, yeah, I just really, that really resonates.
It's always important to look at what is the fear, meaning that there are only two fears, the fear of not getting what you need and the fear of losing what you have. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other. So when it comes to opening to the vertical, to the divine, to spirit, to higher presence, the ego does panic quite a bit because it knows that it's going to be losing its power, and it doesn't want to lose its power because that background program that it runs is, I'm not going to be safe. I'm not going to get what I need, or I'm going to lose what I have. And so that fear of opening, in some ways, it's a level of self-sabotage. In some ways, the fear is really about loss or what is going to happen as a result of opening to that. Or fear that even if you do open to that, that nothing is going to change within your life. Not going to be worth it. Why take this time? Why open to this? It's not going to have any impact on my life. And that, of course, as you so eloquently put it on your very, very beautiful website, my goodness, is a form of spiritual bypassing. If you're coming into an awakening process or feel that desire to serve as a light holder and to move into your dharma and realization of service, it's not about you. And if you are afraid of what you're going to lose, or you don't trust the divine or yourself within the process, very quickly when overnight things in your life just don't explode into unicorns and roses, it's easy to fall off the spiritual path. This isn't worth it. You know, I was told that if I meditated and focused and made vision boards, that all of this stuff was going to manifest within my life. And it hasn't manifested within my life. So screw you, the divine. And the divine is not here to serve our egoic wants. The divine, including the spirit that exists within us, does, however, fulfill our needs. So looking at what your needs are when tuning in to that higher path, or even having the humility to say, divine, beloved, Yeshua, mother, I don't know what I need. Show me, reveal to me what my needs are and how to fulfill them. That is always the best question. Instead of trying to utilize the divine to shift things in the horizontal, the very first step is getting real with yourself about what your needs are in the co-creative relationship that you share with spirit or the divine. Part of that co-creation is that support that you were just speaking to. There is such an incredible support that just dissolves fear when you move into that space of transcendence. And in that space of transcendence, the divine is imminent everywhere around you. You see a flower and it's magical, and a bird comes at just the right moment. And it's through that transcendence and the trust that grows through the eminence of the divine, the signs, the synchronicities, that all of a sudden, from within you, this wellspring of consciousness moves to the surface. And that is the emergence phase in your process of Christ consciousness. There are a lot of people that kind of go through various tiers of transcendence and even eminence, seeing signs or whatever else, but they don't allow for that emergence aspect of the divine to flow through them. And in your case, though you did need to go through a period of really going into the pit of the earth or going into the tomb to be reborn through the womb into your current self, your authentic self, you in some ways are deeply expressive of the emergence of Christ consciousness through you. And that's what's so beautiful about it. So never underestimate the power of that. When you access that, when you take the time, do a couple of meditations, breathe a couple times through the day to weave that through yourself, the emergence of that energy will be felt by everything and everyone around you, whether they realize it or not. And that is service.
I love that. Totally disregarding any type of profession, any type of education. That's so beautiful. And anyone can access that. It just is. It's within.
Absolutely.
It's really, really beautiful. Tell us a lot more about the Freedom Transmissions. Where on audio, when listening, one gets to hear you channeling?
Yes. Yes, they do. Doing the recording of the book in the studio was one of the most wackadoodle moments of my life, because of course I couldn't just read it through my Carissa voice. So I had to dissolve my consciousness like four times a day to bring him through. And it was weird because I'm not conscious when I'm giving a transmission. And so for like five consecutive days, I was in the studio reading this. And so I don't remember any of those days because I was channeling for like 8 hours and then just went home and went to sleep. So I like wasn't even alive during that entire week.
Almost kind of amazing because, you know, it's just so exhausting and so much pressure to do these things. But in a way, you know, you're able to just essentially do what we all need to do, is just give over and be at peace and just do.
Exactly. But the Freedom Transmission, so normally just for my life to be somewhat manageable, because of course I don't just channel Yeshua. I devote about a half of my life to pro bono work and I do sessions. So pretty early on, I had to create a bit of a covenant to make managing my normal human life possible as a channeler, as a medium. And so normally I channel Yeshua on journeys, Sedona journeys, which is absolutely incredible. Being in the presence of Yeshua or somebody who's channeling, legitimately channeling an avatar, because there are a lot of folks that they don't even know what they're channeling and there's a lot of kind of pollution that's out there. But there are folks that are really, really amazing channels and to sit and be in the physical presence of an avatar of that magnitude, it shifts your entire life. It shifts your entire vibration and the wisdom and the purity of what is offered is very unique, very original, and not just things that are out there on YouTube and some other places. The Freedom Transmissions, however, was different. I received a very, very strong intuition that I needed to drop everything. And I knew that I just needed to let Yeshua through to do a transmission. This was in late August of 2020. And what I thought was going to be one transmission turned into 8 days of transmissions. And that became the Freedom Transmissions at a later point in time. And looking back on the process, it was on the fifth day of the process that in a totally unexpected way, our dog died.
Oh.
And it was, I actually thought that I was going to die mm-hmm. from the pain. And anyone that has lost such a sacred being that represents a force of such presence within life, when the entity, when that little energy field is no longer there, there is such a hole that is left behind and an emptiness. So after that, I was like, I'm not continuing with this. And Yeshua said, you have to continue. So I did the remaining days of the Freedom Transmissions. And I know now that I needed to go through that, or I would not have had the depth that Yeshua needed me to have to offer the sixth transmission, which is called On Life, Loss, and the Lamb. He speaks about the energy of grief, the process of what happens when someone disconnects to their form self, how you can access them, how you can feel them, the structure of the sacred heart. And just hearing that got me through and helped me to heal and integrate from that loss in such a profound way and an accelerated way. And I was able to come to peace with it a lot faster. So after I channeled the Freedom Transmissions, I had no idea what to do with them. So I just sent them out to a whole bunch of people for free. I was just like, here you go. And one person was listening and she sent it to the president of Harper One.
Wow.
And it was very, very odd because I didn't have a book and they approached me being like, oh, can we purchase the rights to your book? And I'm like, what book? Mm-hmm. I personally do not have a book. I will never write a book. I have never written a book. So the sound files needed to be translated and the Freedom Transmissions were born, which are so timely and amazing. We're brought through an entire journey of meditations and prayers and the things that Yeshua says can be very controversial because they go so much against the grain of a lot of current collective narratives. So for example, you know, we're really told decadence and bling bling and more, and Yeshua's whole message is create simplicity, stability, surrender, and stillness. If you have no stillness in your life, if you're unwilling to surrender to anything or anyone, if there's no simplicity, if there's no stability, your life will feel like a burden, Where are the areas where you are not feeling these energies? How can you amplify the movement and commit to choices honoring of these energies? Because you will feel a deeper sense of peace, balance, and harmony as a result of bringing deeper simplicity, stability, surrender, and stillness into your life. So he says a lot more. One of the parts that I really loved in it was he explains the ways that we weave and braid together through energy and how we can have a person in our life, a friend, a relationship, and sometimes we stitch and weave and braid with them. And then when that relationship is complete and we need to go to another space and the weaving of the tapestry of our being, of our life, sometimes we need to unthread or unweave and unbraid from that person. And if done in unconsciousness, that can be very painful. Breakups or loss of friendships or whatever. And so he really takes us through how we weave and braid with one another, how to work with that unseen energy to not only create balance within self, but also to manifest or realize more balance and reciprocity in relationships as well.
As someone who's haunted by resentments all of the time as a codependent, amen. Especially understanding deeply that the exchange is of energetics more so than action, verbal, etc. So how refreshing to have those tools, you know, that's so beautiful. Where can we find the book? Obviously everywhere, but where can we find the book and you?
So the book is on Amazon. There's a landing page via HarperCollins, freedomtransmissionsbook.com. And you can find me at thespirittransmissions.com. So thespirittransmissions.com. So there's a little web portal where you can log in and find information on how to schedule a session, how to come to a journey, and other offerings that are available as well.
Thank you so much, Carissa. I feel like we need to have many more conversations.
Oh, I would love to. This has been such a joy, and your level of attunement is incredible. That is such an undervalued word. Especially when it comes to intuition, you're not just intuitive with regards to the questions that you ask of me, but you're also attuning to the needs of those within your community. And you've been very attuned to the sharing of Darshan that we've really had together today, which is magnificent.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is the Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, the Motivation, the free clarity exercise,
and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.